Let's go back to the question here on Pei Zayin and Beis. The Gemara had asked, Avir Mizbeach ki Mizbeach Dam Yolo. Is the airspace of the Mizbeach like the Mizbeach or not? In terms of an item being in the airspace, does it then get caught by the airspace and reconsecrated by the airspace? So sort of right in the middle here of the page, Maskefla, oh, thank you. Maskefla, Rava bar Rav Hanan. Rava, the son of Rav Hanan, asked a question. He said, V'yamar t'avir mizbeach k'mizbeach dami. If you're going to tell me that the airspace of the mizbeach consecrates items that are disqualified again, like placing them on the mizbeach consecrates them again. Ola sa'ov t'pasla b'machshav eichem ishkach asla. How do you ever have a situation of a bird, which is an ola, becoming pickle, being disqualified with the thought of out of time. The moment where do you do the Ola Sof? On the Sovev. So on the Sovev, that's in the airspace of the Mizbeach. He's standing on the Sovev. That's where he does the Malika. He's in the airspace of the Mizbeach. Hakal to Mizbeach. So it's like any other item of pickle placed on the Mizbeach. If the airspace is like the Mizbeach, and if it's a disqualified item placed in the Mizbeach already reconsecrates it. So that was the question. So must be Avir Mizbeach, Lavke Mizbeach. Maskeflor of Simi Barashi. So Simi Barashi said, maybe not. Alam alone. Why not? Mishkachas, I could tell you, you could find it. Could go into Amar. Let's say if he were to say, Harini Molka, I'm doing the Malika now. Almanas Lohorida, with the intent to take it off of the Mizbeach Lamachar. I'm going to take it off of the Mizbeach tomorrow. Ula losa. Then I'm going to put it back. Ula ktira. Then I'm going to offer it. So, if I'm planning to do that, that means I'm planning to do something which is going to have the disqualification of lina. So, once it has the disqualification of lina, that's a plan of chutz lizmano, out of time. So that would be pigle. So I said, well, that's not so simple. We learned yesterday. Hani chalarava. That works according to Rava Dharma lina moelitz brosham is beach. And an item left on the Mizbeach the whole night has the problem of lina. El Rabba Da'amar, ain't lina mo'el tzbrosh ha-Mizbeach. But Rabba, who says that the Mizbeach is like the Shulchan, and there is no lina on the Mizbeach. So, l'asalamach shavto, how are you going to ever have a situation of a wrong thought? So, goes, okay, the Rabba, now I'm Mishkachas, even according to Rabba, I could figure out a wrong thought. Can go Da'amar, let's say he says, Harini Molk, I'm doing the Malika, and even though the airspace is like the Mizbeach, but he says, Amanas lo rida kodem amra shachar. My intention is to take it down before the sun rises, before there's any daylight. Ula los, then I'm going to put it back. The achar amra shachar, after there's daylight. So at the moment of daylight, at the moment of lina, it's going to be off the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, oh. So the Rishim Barashi says, so according to that, you could see, even if it is Avir Mizbeach Kim Mizbeach, you could still have a problem of a wrong thought. So you don't have a proof that Avir Mizbeach is not like Mizbeach. So then, said Rav Simi Barashi, but Lahaki Samiyatifsha, you know what I think? I think the opposite from these questions of Malika, etc. It's not that you prove that Avir Mizbeach is like the Mizbeach. I think the other way. That I think it's not that you can prove that the space of the Mizbeach, the airspace of the Mizbeach is not like the Mizbeach. You can prove the other way. You can prove the other way. That the airspace of the Mizbeach is like the Mizbeach. Why? If you're going to say that the airspace of the Mizbeach doesn't consecrate, it doesn't have the status of the Mizbeach, so it's out of Mizbeach. So now think about not the Ola Sof, but the Chata Sof. Now starting today's daf, Chata Sof Psula. Let's say a person has a Chata Sof, so as a Chata, it has to be slaughtered Lishma, and it was done Shelo Lishma. If it happened at the top of the Mizbeach, Heichi Maza Midama, how are you going to throw its blood? Right? If you did a malika with the intention of shalol lishma, that's a classical psul. Psula b'kodesh, it's disqualified in the kodesh. And we're going to say about psula b'kodesh, shemalu lo yerdu, anything that goes up on the mizbeach doesn't come down. What do you mean it doesn't come down? Chatas ha'of, remember, the chatas ha'of, there is zrikas adam. The bird is jerked, and blood jumps out of the blood of the nefesh, jumps out of the neck. So let's say you had a chatas ha'of, which was pasul, and it was placed on the mizbeach. How are you going to throw the blood? The moment you throw the blood, you're lifting the chatas ha'of, so it's now lifted off of the mizbeach. Once it's off of the mizbeach, it doesn't go back. So then how are you throwing the blood? It's already off of the mizbeach. So what do you see? It's not off of the mizbeach, because when you lift it up, it's in the airspace, and the airspace of the mizbeach is still the mizbeach. I'll give you another proof.
This is a possible purpose of
initially? Yeah. If it's on the Mizbeach, Imalu lo yerdu, right? Once it goes onto the Mizbeach, then it doesn't get taken off. Right, it gets reconsecrated. So if you had a pasul chatas ha'of on the Mizbeach, how would you have the halacha of Imalu lo yerdu? The moment you lift it, it already was yardu. And then lo yalu, it shouldn't be put back. Another question to prove that the airspace of the Mizbeach is Mizbeach. And when you lift something from the Mizbeach, you haven't taken it off the Mizbeach. Shar psulim, anytime you have a situation of a carbon which has a disqualification, right? Let's say the carbon was Yotzei or Tameh or Lan or Pigol, and the blood was put onto the Mizbeach. So the halach is once it's on the Mizbeach, it doesn't come down. So now you're going to throw the blood on the Mizbeach. How are you going to throw the blood? How are you going to throw the blood? The moment you lift this container that holds the blood, you've taken it already off. It's already nailed down, so now it doesn't go back up. So it must be that if you want to prove anything, not that you prove that the airspace of the Mizbeach is not Mizbeach. That's how we started off, because we wanted to say the airspace of the Mizbeach can't be Mizbeach, because if it's Mizbeach, then Pigol should already be reconsecrated. Now that we already resolved, you can have a situation of Pigol even if the airspace of Mizbeach is Mizbeach, and it wouldn't be reconsecrated if there was a thought of taking it off of the Mizbeach before the end time. But if anything, you can prove the other way, that the airspace of the Mizbeach is Mizbeach, and since it is Mizbeach, that's why when blood is pasul and it's on the Mizbeach, we don't say that don't throw, because if you throw, you've already removed. We say you can throw. The removing, it's not removing because it's still in the airspace. So Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe the airspace is not the Mizbeach. Then when you have a chatas ha'of, which is pasul on the Mizbeach, or if you have blood, which is pasul on the Mizbeach, how are you going to throw it? When you're throwing it, you're putting it into the airspace, and then once it's in the airspace, it's out of the Mizbeach. Maybe not. The Magalu, maybe you're not taking it up, you're not lifting it off of the Mizbeach into the airspace, you're still touching the Mizbeach. There was a container of blood that was pasul, was pigel, was put onto the Mizbeach. So now we say lo yerdu, it doesn't come down. You go on with the service. What do you mean you go on with the service? You turn it while it's still attached, while it's still touching the bottom of the Mizbeach, and you throw it like that onto the wall of the Mizbeach. So Gemara says, ha zahi, you call that throwing of blood? Mitzihu, in a chatas ha'of, that's not called throwing of blood. If you take the animal and you haven't moved the you haven't taken the bird off of the airspace, the bird's not into the airspace. It's still on the floor of the Mizbeach. And you're turning it over to get it to the wall of the Mizbeach, the blood to the wall. That's not called zrika, that's mitzihu. That's called squeezing. And in terms of a regular blood, ha'zrika, you're calling that zrika, shvichu, that's pouring of the blood. That's not throwing of the blood. Oh, and furthermore, b'chiderach hazav b'kach, is that the normal way to throw the blood of a chatas ha'of? Is that derach zvika b'kach? Is that the normal way to throw the blood of a karban? So you can't say that. So you know what we have to say? We have to say that the airspace of the Mizbeach is the Mizbeach. So when you have blood which is pasul on the Mizbeach, if you have a chatas ha'of on the Mizbeach, You can lift the schatas and lift the blood and now throw them because it's still in the airspace, and the airspace is like the mizbeach. So Amar Rav Asher, Rav Asher said, no. If a person, a kohen, is standing at the top of the mizbeach, holding in his hand a container with blood, or holding in his hand a chatas sa'ov, everyone would agree that that's considered mizbeach, because that's normal. That's the normal act of service. That's already considered mizbeach. That was never our question. Our question was the talinu b'kanya. Let's say the kohen takes a long stick, and on the long stick he puts a cup that has pasul blood, and he stands with the stick, and the stick now is over the airspace of the mizbeach. That was our question. Or with the stick, he's holding the chatas ha'of over the mizbeach. It's not the normal way. Do we say now also, it's in the airspace of the mizbeach. The airspace of the mizbeach is like the mizbeach. It's as if it's reconsecrated by the mizbeach. Or maybe the airspace does not reconsecrate. And the answer is taken. We don't know the answer to that question, whether the airspace of the mizbeach is like the mizbeach, to be able to reconsecrate things that are literally just in the airspace by means of a stick without a person holding them. But if a person is holding them, so the person who's holding them, his feet are on the floor of the mizbeach, so then it's considered as if the item's on the floor of the mizbeach, and that certainly is as if it touched the mizbeach, and it gets reconsecrated by the mizbeach.
The airspace is exactly the same square footage of the mizbeach, right?
Sure. You know. Yeah, whatever's on top.
If it's on this side here,
whatever's on top of the mizbeach, yeah.
So, Rabbi, it requires that there's connection to the floor of the mizbeach to qualify for the airspace.
Then we don't have a question. But in terms of the airspace without being on the floor, that's a question. If it's just with the stick, that's the question, which we did not resolve.
There's no roof on top of the mizbeach.
No, it's outside in the azar. It's in the courtyard.
Yeah,
it's open.
There's a roof.
All right, next Mishnah. The last Mishnah mentioned that the same way the Mizbeach reconsecrates, the ramp of the Mizbeach reconsecrates, and not only does the ramp of the Mizbeach reconsecrate, we said clay shares, holy vessels, reconsecrates. As the Mishnah, in terms of vessels consecrating, the difference between the vessels. Clay alach, a vessel used for liquids, like ka'aros, bowls, mizrakos, things to catch the blood and throw the blood. Mekachin es alach. If a liquid is placed in them, let's say wine or oil or blood, they would become consecrated. However, midos yavesh, the measuring cups for dry, namely the measuring cup of the isaron and the half isaron of flour, which is dry for the mincha, if flour is put into them, they become consecrated, but not if wine would be put into them, they wouldn't become consecrated. The vessels for that which is liquid do not consecrate that which is dry. And the vessels for that which is dry would not consecrate that which is a liquid placed in them. Now, talking about vessels, the vessels have to be holy vessels. Holy vessels have to look good. These are God's vessels. So, klei hakodesh shenikvu. If a holy vessel gets a hole in the bottom, so now it's no good. It's got a hole. So, im osin ben mein malach dan shayu osin mein shleimim. If he could still do most of the work, right? A bit of what it could have done when it was whole, and it's still considered a vessel. Makash, they can still consecrate what's in them. Vimla, but if the hole is so big you can't do anything remotely similar to what you were doing, and makash, it's no longer a vessel, and it no longer can consecrate what's placed in it. Vekulan, and all the holy vessels, ain't makash, elabakodesh. They only consecrate in the temple when things are placed in them in the temple, but not outside of the temple. We're going to see in the Gemara, you remake it. You have to melt it down entirely and remake it fully. You can't patch things. Clay you break.
Clay you break and bury. And that's why there's all these shards. garden.
Exactly, that's right. But the gold or the silver have to be melted down and redone. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, Lo Shanu, this halacha, that vessels for liquid do not consecrate dry things like flour, elamidos. That's in terms of measuring cups made to measure liquids. If they were, if flour was put into them, they're not going to consecrate the flour. Avol mizrakos, but those vessels that are there to catch blood and throw it. So then mekadshim, they can even consecrate flour, dry things placed in them. Shenamar, because it says about the nesiim, that when the nesiim were bringing their karbanos, they each brought karas kasef, a bowl of silver, umizrak kasef, and a mizrak. A mizrak is something to throw blood from, of silver. But what was it filled? It wasn't filled with liquids. It was shnei maleim solas. They were all filled with flour. So you see that since these are vessels, albeit for liquids, but these are vessels that are not measuring vessels for liquids, therefore they can consecrate even flour. Rav Acham Adifti the Ravina. Rav Acham Adifti said back to Ravina, said to Ravina, how could you say that that was a proof that they were using, you know, karos and mizrakos for solas? No, it was for a mincha. Mincha lachahi. A mincha is moist. Because in the mincha, it's not just flour, it's flour mixed with oil. When you mix it with the oil, it becomes now moist. Amale, Ravina said back to Rav Acha, when you mix the flour with the oil, it doesn't fully mix. There's always some flour that didn't get become moist. And that also became consecrated by the Nesim. So you see that even the dry things become consecrated in the vessels of the liquids. So long as the vessels of the liquids are not measuring vessels for liquid, they are karas and mizrakos. He by his same, ultimately I can tell you what was his proof. Because mincha legabe dam ki yavesh dami. The vessel of a ka'ar or a mizrak is mostly for blood. Now that it's being used for a mincha, yeah, it's true that the mincha has flour mixed with oil, but the flour mixed with oil relative to blood is like dry relative to a liquid, because it's much, much drier than blood. So you see that since it worked for the mincha, you see that the dry things can be consecrated in blood vessels that are not measuring vessels. All right, talking some more about holy vessels. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, Kli Shareis Ein Mekadshim Ela Shleimim. The holy vessels only consecrate if they are whole, not if they have a hole in them. They have to be complete. Ein Mekadshim Ela Meleim. They only consecrate if they are full. So let's say you take a vessel for an Isaron, and you fill it with an Isaron of Solas. Now it would be, the Solas is now holy. They only consecrate what is inside of them, not what is outside of them. A different version of what Shmuel said was, they only consecrate when they are complete, umilein, and full, umi bifnim, and as long as they are inside the azara, but not that they only consecrate what is inside of them. So my benai, what's the difference between these two versions? The difference would be like this. Let's say you had a vessel and it's heaping with fine flour. So then it's inside the azara, but it's not inside the vessel. So according to this, it is the airspace of the vessel. That's true. So according to the second version, the heaps also become consecrated. But according to the first version, which was Ein mekadshin ela meleyin, ein mekadshin ela mitochan, mitochan. So it only consecrates what is mitoch, what is inside, not that which is heaping above. V'masnisa tana, in a brisa the version was ein mekadshin elo shleimin. Holy vessels only consecrate when they are complete. Umilein, and when it is full, with the full amount. Umitochan, and inside of them, not that which is heaping beyond them. Ubifnim, and in the temple, in the Azara. Rab Asi said the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Lo shanu, this is true, that they would only consecrate once they have the full amount. Ela shein taito lahosif. If he's not intending to do more, so then it has to have the full amount. Avol daito lahosif. But if he puts in some flour into the vessel, and it's not an isar on a flour yet, but he's intending to add more flour to get to an isar on a flour. And Rishon Kodesh, the first, each as it goes in, already becomes consecrated.
So half a cup is consecrated too.
Consecrated, yeah, because the other half is coming. Tanya Miyachi, that's what we learned in Hebrew. The verse says, Shneyem, about the Nesiyim, the Karos and the Mizrakos, Shneyem, Aleim, Solas, both were filled with fine flour. Ein Maleim, so when it says filled, it doesn't mean that. Literally, they were filled to the top. Eloshleim, it just means that they were complete. They weren't missing from the Isaron. Rabbi Yossi said, Ein Masai, when do we have this law that they have to have the full amount? Bizman Shein Daito Lahosef, if he doesn't have intent to add. Avol, but if it doesn't have the full amount, but Daito Lahosef, but he's intending to add to get to the full amount. Rishon Kodesh, each little bit that goes in becomes sacred, becomes consecrated. The Mishnah says, "In Klei Alach Mekadesh Hayavish." Vessels of liquids are not, don't have the ability to consecrate the dry flour. Amar Rav said, "V'itim Rav Asi." Some say Rav Asi said this. What that means is that if the dry flour is put into a liquid vessel, into a liquid measuring cup, a mekachinli karev, it's not holy enough to now be able to go onto the altar. Avol mekachinli pasul, but it is holy enough. It does become holy. It does become consecrated. That if this flour would now be taken out of the azara, or if a tamei person were to touch the flour, it would become possible. So it's not, it can't make it holy enough to go onto the Mizbeach, but it does make it holy enough that it could become disqualified to by the psulim of Kodesh, by the holy disqualifications. If you put it into, yeah, in order to go on to the Mizbeach, yes. Now there are some who taught it. I wonder if it would be Dachui. Because it was consecrated but no good. So maybe it becomes pushed aside, maybe. Some taught this in regards to the following. The Braisa says, "Ein meviyim menachos." You can't bring menachos and nesachim and the wine libations, or minchas behema or a mincha of wine for an animal, ubikurim, nor ubikurim mina meduma from flour or wheat that has a mixture of chulin and truma, because it's not edible to all, so it can't be used. Certainly you can't bring from Arla, from the flour, from the first three, or fruits, or wine, from Arla trees, or Klai Akerem, or from Kelayim, which no one's allowed to eat. Even if you use those types of things as the karban, you put it into the holy vessel, Lokidesh, it doesn't become holy. Rav said, "Vitim Ravasi." Ravasi said, "Lo kiddush likar. If it may not become holy in terms of going on to the mizbeach, avol kiddush lipasal. But it did become holy enough that it became disqualified And once it became disqualified, in other words, it was kadshim, it was the head kedushas haguf, can't be redeemed, and you need to burn it since it had been placed in a holy vessel.
What did they do with the flour and oil and mixed up and everything? What did they do at the end of the day with it?
Well, it depends on each mincha. We'll learn more about that in Menachos, but let's say the classical mincha, a fistful goes into the fire, and
so
the rest...
burn the flour?
Yeah, and the rest gets eaten by the Kohanim.
So Kohanim just ate the flour, but, you know, with oil mixed
pancakes,
up?
Pancakes.
Pancakes.
Pancakes. Pancakes. Syrup, and
that's right. It's got to taste good. L'mash chalagdul. It's got to be delicious. Tana Rabbanan, our sages taught us in a brisa, talking about the holy vessels. The Beis HaMikdash was a display of great wealth. It had to look great wealth. Everything had to be the fanciest of the fanciest. So we have a rule, Ein Anius B'Makom Ashirus. When you're spending a lot of money, you know, somebody's making a wedding, I don't know, in some fancy hotel in New York, the Waldorf Astoria, the Pierre Hotel, you know, it's not a place to now start, you know, cutting corners on, you know, the flowers are going to be from a gemach, you know, not real. They're going to be, silk flowers. Spending so much money, you know, or paper plates. Ein Anius B'Makom Ashirus, where there's so much wealth. There's no room for poverty. So the Beis HaMikdash, there was no room for patches, for stitching things up. You know, this is the it's got to be the wealthiest of the wealthiest. The best of the best. So then I want to look at a braisa, Klei Kodesh HaNikvu. If you have a holy vessel, it has a hole in them. Ein Matichin Osam, we don't, you know, heat that which is around the hole to fill in the hole, make a patch. We don't drop into the hole some lead. No, we have to redo the whole thing because it can't be patched. It's got to be the fanciest. Nifkamu. Let's say you have a holy vessel that gets chipped. We don't fix them. We redo them. Sakin shenifkam. You have a knife, a holy knife, in the Beis HaMikdash, it gets chipped. In Mashchizenes Pkimasa, we don't, you know, sand it down to now fix the chip. Nishmatov, the knife falls off of the handle. In Machzirinos, you don't put it back. Abba Shalom said there was even a story. Sakin Matrefas, I said, HaMikdash, there was a knife in the Beis HaMikdash that was chipped, it kept causing all these animals to become trefos. Nimnu Alea Kohanim, the Kohanim had a vote. Gnazua, they put it away into Shemos. They can't use it again. The garments of Kuna also are like this. Ein Anios B'Makom Ashirus, no poverty here. Ein Osa Nosa Ma'asem Machat. You don't do them by, you know, a needle to connect the sleeve to the torso. Oh, that's too cheap. My Sorig, the whole thing is woven. The whole thing is woven all at once. As it says, Masi Org has to be made woven. Nizgalu, if Big De Kuna become dirty, Ein Machabsin, you can't put them in the laundry. Lo Beneser, Velo Ohel, you can't use, you know, strong, you know, detergents on them. That's not respectful. No, you have to put them aside. You have to get new Big De Kuna. So I said, one second, you don't use the strong detergents, Neser and Ohel, B'mai Machabsin. But you can use just water. If you can't use the expensive detergents, you're going to use the cheap water. That makes even less sense. Amar Abaya said like this. This is what the Braisa means. Hugu b'mayim, if they're not really dirty, a little bit of water would take out what's on it. I don't know, a drop fell on it. A little bit of water is enough. Then already you can do laundry. Machaps and osam and eser v'ol. You can use the strong detergents, the eser and ol. But hugu l'neser v'ol. But if they're really dirty and they need the strong detergents, no, you don't put them in the wash. You put them aside, you buy a new pair of Big De Kahuna. You can't even use water to clean them. Actually, you don't buy the Big De Kahuna. The Am Yisrael buys the Big De Kahuna through the Machtes HaShekel. And some say, Ein Machabsin Osa and Kal Ikar. Even if it's only a little bit dirty, you don't wash Big De Kahuna. Why? What's the rule behind all of these halachos? Why you can't drop in lead to repair the klisharis that has a hole? Why you have to be gonaze the knife that has a nick on it? It's not respectful to be cheap and to be trying to cut corners and be poor in a place of wealth. It's a place of wealth. This is the Beis HaMikdash. It's got to be the nicest gold, the nicest silver. It's not a place for repairs. Here, it's very, very rich, very, very wealthy. Now talking about the garments of kahuna. Tan Rabbanan Lintin Abraisa Me'il, the robe of the Kohen Gadol, Kulo Shel Tcheles Haya, was all made out of wool, dyed Tcheles, dyed sky blue. Shenamar, as it says, Vayasas Me'il Ha'efod, he made the Me'il for the apron, Klil, totally Tcheles. What about the hem? Shulav ketzad. What would they do on the very, on the hem, right? The pomegranates and the bells. So maybe he'd bring strings of tcheles, of blue wool, vargaman and purple wool, vitola shani and red wool. Shizurin, these three strings were twined together. Osan kimin rimonim, and he makes them like pomegranates. Shelo pitchu pihen, whose mouth has not yet opened. So these are pomegranates that haven't started to open up yet. Ukmin kunaos, and he makes like these little balls. Shel knasos, of the helmets. When you have helmets, right, you see these pictures of the helmets of the Romans. They used to have these little balls. So he makes these little balls. Shelknasos of the helmet, Shibarashi Tinokos, that are on the top of babies. Babies used to wear these little helmets to pretend like they're soldiers. They would emulate the Roman helmets. So on the helmets, they'd have these little balls. So he makes these little balls. And he would hang them on the hem of the robe. Umevi shivim ushnayim zagin. And then he'd bring 72 bells. Shabahem shivim ushnayim inbalin. And in the bells were 72, what do they call the inbal?
Poppers,
right? That's the ball that makes the noise in the bell. Vitola Bahan, and he would hang these 72. Oh, very nice. Exactly. Beautiful. How'd you know that we were learning this?
He went ahead.
He always went 2 pages ahead. Vitola Bahan, and he hangs the bells on the hem of the robe next to the cloth pomegranates. Shloshim v'shishim mitzad zeh, 36 bells on the front of the Kohen Gadol. Shloshim v'shishim mitzad zeh, 36 bells on the back of the Kohen Gadol. Rabbi Dos Yom Mishum Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Dos, he says the name of Rabbi Yehuda. Shloshim v'shisha hayu. There were only 36 bells. Shmon asim mitzad zeh, shmon asim mitzad zeh. 18 on this side, 18 on that side. Amar Avanini Bar Sason Kamachlokas Khan, the same argument we have here, where the 36 on one side, 36 on the other, 18 on one side, 18 on the other. Kach Machlokas Bemaras Anagayim. So too we have an argument in regards to the colors of Tsaras. If not, we're looking at Mishnah in Nagayim, Maras Nagayim, Rabbi Dosi Bar Horkinis, Omer Shloshim Vishisha, there are 36 different colors. And Akavya ben Malal, Omer, Shiv, and Mushnaim, there are 72 different colors. All right, so now the end of the perek ends with a lighter note, a little bit of Agadita. Am Rabbi Nini Bar Sasson, Rabbi Nini Bar Sasson said, Lama Nismucha Parshas Karbanos, the Parshas Big the Kahuna. Why is the section of Karbanos right next to the section of the garments of the Kohen Gadol? Lama Lucha to tell you. Ma karbanos machaprim, just like karbanos atoned for sins, af big day kahuna machaprim, the garments of the Kohen Gadol and the garments of Kohanim would wipe away sins. Which sins? Kasones, the shirt, mechaperes al shvichas damim, that would atone for the sin of murder. Shenemar, as we find, vayishchatu seirizim, they slaughtered a goat, this is the brothers of Yosef, and they dip the shirt into the blood. So the shirt, the kutonet, atones for the spilling of blood. The pants would atone for the sin of illicit relations, illicit sexual activity. Shenamar's the verse says, make for them pants of linen, lechasos, besar erva, to cover the nakedness, the flesh of nakedness. Mitznefes, the hat, mechaperes al gasi aruach, was an atonement for arrogance. Minayin, how do we know that? On Reb Chanina, yavodova shebagova, let that which is high, the hat, yechaper, and it should atone al gova, for a heightened sense of self, arrogance. Avnate, the belt, machaper al hira leiv, that atones for thoughts in the heart. Ahecha de'isa, because the belt is on the heart. And choshen, the breastplate, machaper al adinim, atones for distorted judgments, wrong rulings. Shneimer, it says, v'asisa choshen mishpat, you shall make a choshen of justice.
This is just the comments of the Kohen Gadol, mm-hmm. Not the regular.
The regular Kohanim, I think, as well, but certainly the Kohen Gadol.
It's like a national Kohen.
That's right. Ephod, the apron, mechaper avodas kochavim, atones for idolatry, shenemar, because the verse says, v'ein trafit, v'ein ephod. Now that you didn't have the apron, then you have, unfortunately, the sin of trafim of the idols. Me'il, the robe, mechaper lashon hara, with all the bells on the bottom, atones for lashon hara. Minayin, how do we know this? Amar Reb Chanina, yavo davar shebakol. Let these bells that make noise, v'yechaper al kol hara, will atone for the noise of lashon hara. Tzitz, the headband, mechaper al azus panim, atones for chutzpah. Because b'tzitz ksiv, it says about the tzitz, v'ayal meitzach Aaron will be on the forehead of Aaron, v'azuz panim, and the brazenness, it says, u'meitzach isha zona hayalach me'anti kalem, and you had the forehead of a prostitute woman, you refused to be ashamed or to in any way feel embarrassed. Ain't is that so? These are the things that create atonement for this. Ivam Rabbi Shimon Levi said, Shnei Dvarim Lo Motzim Lehem Kapara B'Karbanos. There are two things that we don't find Karbanos to atone for them. But there are other things that create atonement for them. Eluin, what are the two things? Shvichus Damim, murder by mistake, and Lashon Hara. Shvichus Damim, where's the other thing which isn't really a carbon that creates atonement? Egla Rufa, the calf that gets its head chopped off in the valley for the dead body. And Lashon Hara gets atonement through the Ketores. Tani Rav Chananya, Minayin L'Ketores Shemachaperes. I don't know that the Ketores creates atonement. Shneimer, as it says, V'yitein es HaKetores V'yechaper La'am. He placed the Ketores and he atoned for the people with the sin of Korach. What was Korach? Lashon Hara. V'tani Deber B'Yishmael, Alma Ketores Mechaperes Al Lashon Hara. Kaz Yavo Davar Shevachashai. Let the Ketores, which is in the hidden place, in the Heichal, atone. Yechaper Al Maisa Chashai. Atone for Lashon Hara, which is normally said in secret. Now we have a problem. Kasha Lashon Hara or Lashon Hara. What creates the atonement for Lashon Hara? The Me'il or the Ketores? Kasha Shvichas Dam or Shvichas Dam. What creates atonement for murder? The Kutones, the shirt, or Egla Rufa? So lo Kasha, it's not a contradiction in regards to murder. If we know who killed, then it's not the Egla Rufa. Then it's the shirt. If we didn't know who killed, then it's the Egla Rufa. One second. If we know who killed, we kill the guy. We don't need atonements. Well, sometimes we can't. Let's say he did it on purpose. And they never warned him. So if they never warned him, we can't kill him. So then you have the Ketones creating atonement. Lashon Hara, Nami Lokasha, Lashon Hara, against Lashon Hara. That's not a question. Habitzina. If it's in private, then the Ketores atones for it. Befarhasiach, the Lashon Hara is in public, then the Me'il, with all of its bells, atones for it. Hajan Allah, Rez Hashem Yisbarach, Perek HaMizbeach Mekadosh. Kaddish Drabanan. Anyone to say Kaddish, Rick? Amen.